This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, we bring you another candidate interview. Stan Pulliam, Republican candidate for governor, current mayor of Sandy. Stan, thanks for being back on with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Always great to be on.
So overall, how is your campaign going?
You know, it's going great. You can certainly feel the intensity of the campaign pick up as we head into this new year. We started a bus tour. We did one leg of it already. We're getting ready to do our second leg of it. We were throughout Southern Oregon on the last one. This one, we're going out to Pendleton and to Eastern Oregon. And what's so fun about that is people see this fancy bus, right? And man, it looks good, but the truth is that it's my mom and dad's old RV. It's the RV I grew up in going to duck games and traveling the country as a kid. And it's just so darn exciting. Mackenzie, my wife, has joined for the ride. And our two daughters, Lucy and Olivia, who are 11 and 8 years old. And we're just creating wonderful memories as a family. The kids are learning so much about Oregon, just the wonderful parts about this state. And the support we're getting from everybody that we talk to from the ground up, it's just been incredibly exciting.
What are the main reasons for you deciding to run?
Well, you know, I'm a hometown guy. You mentioned, just dropped the call, that I'm the mayor of Sandy. And I grew up in Sandy. And so I talk about that because, you know, I ran for mayor because I deeply love and care about my community. And Sandy's one of the fastest growing communities in Oregon. So I wanted to be part of, you know, really shaping the community I love so much. But here we are, you know, no one expects as mayor of your hometown to have to deal with these COVID issues, and that's what hit us. And one day I was asked by a gal named Rhea here in our community on Sandy Family Restaurant during the second closures to come and visit with her. And I showed up, and we had just about every Main Street business owner in town there, you know, to greet me. And I talked so much about Sandy being my hometown because when I'm in that room that day and I'm looking into those folks' eyes, I'm looking to people's eyes who I grew up with, my classmates, people who are neighbors whose kids go to school with mine and Mackenzie's kids. And, you know, I grew up in a house of small business owners. So when I looked into their eyes and I saw their desperation and their fear looking back at me, I saw my mom and dad looking back at me. And so I stepped up. We led the movement, the New Year's Day movement, to support those business owners who were in the fight of their lives. We traveled the state. My wife, Mackenzie, she started the Oregon Moms Union. As parents, dual working household, two young kids, we saw the ramifications of the stay-at-home orders, the virtual learning. Heck, our kids weren't going to good schools before COVID-19. Oregon schools are ranked nearly last in every statistic category for education. And so I'm sorry for the long-winded response here, but really, it's my wife, Mackenzie, and I standing at really a cross-section of all the nonsense and craziness of the past couple of years, me with mayor of my hometown, depending on Main Street small businesses, my wife, Mackenzie, with our kids. And we decided to step and fight back and to really try to get our state back on course. And so it's a movement that started that day at Rhea's, built upon parents, our neighbors, and turned into a movement I truly believe is going to take us all the way to the governor's office.
So if you're elected, what are the top things that you would focus on?
It sounds cliche to start with education. Every politician does that. But, you know, the honest truth is that they're our future. And you think about, I just mentioned that 46 out of 50 in overall education for the state of Oregon nationally, 47th out of 50 for graduation rates. You know, what we're doing is not working. And then our kids are among the last to return to the classroom. It's time for school choice. It's time to empower parents and local school boards. But most important, it's time for parents and children to be able to dictate the educational opportunities and futures and the privacy of their own homes. And beyond that, you think about the crime and the mass homelessness going on, not just in Portland and Eugene, but all the different communities in our state. More people were killed last year than any time in our state's history. The homeless problem that we all know is exacerbated. And you think about in the 1970s here in Oregon, we had over 30 officers per 100,000 people. Do you know what that number is today? It's 8. It's 8. We need to stand up and triple the size of the state police. We need to support our local sheriff and city police departments. We need to get the National Guard onto the front lines. We got to support our police departments. And then the third issue would really be where it all began, those Main Street small businesses across the state. And too often as conservatives, we don't draw the line between some of the largest corporations in this country, the Facebook, the Googles, and the Nikes of the world, and the small Main Street mom and pop businesses that are struggling to survive. We got to close out the red tape that really hurts these businesses. We need to give these business owners more flexibility over their futures and really allow them to live out their American dream. Because when our small business owners, who are the heartbeat of our communities, are living out their American dream, they're providing opportunities to all of our neighbors to live out theirs as well.
And as we're getting just into the brand new year, closer to the May primary, people are becoming a little more interested in all the races. What are you hearing from folks as you travel the state?
Well, as I travel the state, I hear excitement. You know, I hear unity. What I hear is people from all corners of this state that are sick and tired of the politicians out of Portland thrusting their values and their beliefs onto the rest of us. And we have all these folks who, you know, really didn't think that the politics of Washington, D.C., and Salem impacted our lives. But you can't make that case anymore. And so often we hear, you know, I'm woke. People talk about being woke. I'm so woke, man, you know. And let's talk about being awoken. Let's talk about these small business owners and their employees who are closed down and shut down in the middle of the holiday season. Couldn't even put presents under their tree. Parents still working households like Mackenzie and I who have seen the ramifications on our kids. But maybe more importantly, they now see where the power centers in this state are. The government teacher unions are really pulling the strings and dictating the shots of what happens here in the state of Oregon. And, you know, there's a silver lining underneath everything, which is, you know, our kids, we didn't like the virtual learning, but it allowed us parents to see what was really being taught into the classroom. So as I talk to people across the state, they're standing up and fighting to get kids back into the classrooms. They're standing up and fighting against these vaccine mandates and the masking of kids. But more importantly, now that they're in school, we're going to improve these schools. And we're going to stand up against critical race theory and this nonsense that's being taught in school. So I'm hearing unity. I'm hearing anger, but I'm hearing excitement. I'm hearing excitement that we have an opportunity to restore this once wonderful state back to the path that we should be on, which is truly a leader for the rest of the nation.
With Governor Brown exiting at the end of this year, a lot of interest in the race in both parties, and it's a crowded GOP field, no question about that. How do you differentiate yourself from other Republicans that want the job of governor?
Yeah, thanks for that question. You know, so we really have about a handful, maybe two leading candidates are on the Republican side. I understand that there's 15 people in this race, but really there's only a couple that have the notoriety, the ability to raise the money and get the organization, you know, to run. And out of those folks, I am the most conservative candidate, you know, Republican candidate running for governor. You just think about over the last week and a half, the Willamette Week, downtown Portland newspaper reaches out to the leading Republican candidates, and they ask, did Trump win the 2020 election? They ask about fraud and whether or not we would get accept President Trump's endorsement. I was the only candidate on the Republican side that said, absolutely there were issues in the 2020 election. You think about all the COVID hesitancy, the turning to vote by mail at the very last second that never been done before, how close that election was, the social media channels, the Facebooks and the Instagrams that were filtering out content on Hunter Biden and everybody else. There was absolutely issues with the 2020 election. And I do support President Trump. I would accept his support. I'm the only one that did that. And here's the truth. If your Republican candidate's not going to stand up and support our values in a primary when it's easy, you can never expect that individual to stand up and fight for our values and beliefs as our next governor. And so if you're a solid conservative that wants to see strong conservative leadership in this state, I'm solidly your guy.
And right now, as you mentioned, two candidates really leading in fundraising. How are you doing there?
Yeah, we're right there. We have raised the most money for this governor's effort than any other candidate on the Republican side. Now, I understand we may have an insider candidate who's, you know, been living and breathing in Salem these last several years that started off, you know, receiving pharmaceutical money and special interest money that may believe that they're at $1 million first. But I'm sorry, you got to actually raise this money to run for governor. You can't just take it out of the Republican caucus that's supposed to be supporting our representative Republican candidates getting into office. So we're right at $1 million. We've raised the most money. We're not self-funding. We've gotten over 1,500 individual contributors across the state. We don't have, you know, the major corporations, but you know what we do have? We have the local family-owned businesses that are fighting on a daily basis here on the ground in Oregon in this terrific business climate. We have their support. And so we're incredibly excited about where we stand in the fundraising race.
More when we come back. Stan Pulliam, Republican candidate for governor, Mayor Sandy, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. We'll be right back. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming up at 1. And tomorrow's program, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer will join us. Stan Pulliam, Republican candidate for governor, Mayor of Sandy, talking about the race right now. There's a dynamic that pops up periodically, but this year it may be more of a factor. An independent running, which means they're in place and kind of on hold until the fall, but with three candidates for governor, Democrat, Republican, Independent, that means some interesting dynamics. Stan, can that help Republicans? Might it hurt Republicans?
You just said there's a Democrat, an Independent, and a Republican running in this race. I got to tell you, I like you, but I'm going to have to push back a little on that. There are two Democrats in this race versus a Republican, because Betsy Johnson may be running as a non-affiliated, but there is a reason that she has been in the state Senate for the last 20 years on the inside as a Democrat. And you think about this for a second. We've got somebody getting into this race that's going to be splitting up the anti-Trump vote. We got someone in this race that's going to stand with our public education system, which is among one of the worst in this country, against me, who supports parents and local school boards are fighting for our children. We've got someone who's in the party who's throwing down all these mandates, vaccine mandates, mask mandates, vaccine passports, who's going to be agreeing with Tina Kotek or the Democrat nominee on these issues, going against us who are standing up and fighting for the average Oregonian. So I think with this non-affiliated Betsy Johnson candidacy, it has shifted the ground of this race. And as a Republican now, we need to stand up, really be full-throated and support our values and our beliefs. And you better believe we're going to be successful, because we've got two Democrats that are splitting up the Democrat vote going against us as a Republican. Additionally, here's the thing. When I'm standing there against the longest-serving House Speaker from downtown Portland and Tina Kotek, whose problems is because of her policies, who I believe it's one of her staffers was arrested last summer, part of these Antifa riots. And on my other side, I've got someone who's been camped out for 25 years in the state Senate, who's receiving contributions from some of the largest corporations and special interests in this country. Tina is supported and bought and sold by the public employee unions. And I'll be there as a mayor of my hometown, who has fought and supported the people of our community, who stood side by side with my wife, Mackenzie, as we fought for our children and the better improvement of their schools. You better believe I'm excited about this election and our opportunities for victory.
Now, you talked about the bus tour. It sounds like you're really going out and hitting all parts of the state, even this early in the campaign.
Oh, you better believe it. So we've been campaigning nearly a year now. We started off with our exploratory announcement that led to a listening tour across the state, where we traveled around the state to our different communities that, unfortunately, we get too many folks that run for office that neither go and listen to or represent these areas across Oregon. So we got out right away. I mentioned the first leg of the bus tour. We've been touring around the state and getting support for the last year. And really, that's what set us up. We have the support of the people. We have over 60 endorsements from local mayors, county commissioners, city councilors, school board members. we've put in the work, and really the our opponents in this race are just trying to catch their breath at this point.
So what are your plans for your campaign as you get closer to the primary?
Well, we're going to continue out there. We've got a couple of more legs of this bus tour, and obviously as we get closer here to Election Day, we're going to get the advertising campaign that's starting up. And I know for all of your listeners, I'm sure they're just banging themselves on the forehead thinking, here we go, time for political ads. Well, we're going to have those political ads this year. This is an important year. 2022 is really going to dictate who we are as a state going into the future. Are we going to continue with the bad schools, the high crime, the mass homelessness? Are we actually going to set this state back on course? And so you're going to be seeing social media ads, TV ads, radio ads, all those fun things. But we really need to get people engaged because this is so important. This is our moment. We either lose this state forever or we return us to our former glory.
Nationally, of course, the forecast is for some significant Republican gains in the midterms. Sounds like the GOP lawmakers in Salem hope to pick up a number of seats. Do you see any kind of shift in Oregon? Because the voting patterns for this state for many years have really been, firmly overall in the Democratic camp. When you take the state as a whole, obviously different parts of the state vary from each other.
Absolutely. You think about what just happened this last year in states like Virginia and New Jersey and the red wave that happened there. There's also historic precedent for major Republican pickups with Democrat overreach happening, at the national level. This last governor's election with Chris Dudley when he was in President Obama's midterm, closest election we've had for governor in our state's history. So I believe we have an opportunity to pick up tremendous seats in the state Senate. I'm hoping for the state House. I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned there because the person that we've been relying on to really get us organized, to get those candidates recruited, to get them financially backed, unfortunately, has stepped out and entered this governor's race and pulled money out of those efforts and out of recruiting of those candidates. So I'm worried that we're not going to be able to have the strength, but I'm very encouraged with the new leadership there and all the hard work they've put in the last couple of weeks. And so, hopefully we can get our act together here on the legislative level and have huge pickups to support our next Republican governor.
As you're traveling around and focusing on different areas, there are parts of Oregon that seem to be kind of on the edge. Sometimes they vote more Democratic. Sometimes they vote more Republican. Folks tend to be moderates overall. Have you been reaching out and kind of pushing that way, too?
Well, absolutely. And just to be honest, I think that our age really helps. I'm 40 years old. Mackenzie, my wife, I won't age her, but she's just 1 or 2 years, right behind me. But I mention that because we have a young family. We live in Sandy, a suburban community to the Portland metro area. We live in a middle class house. We're middle class people with middle class problems with kids in public school in real time. In fact, we'd be the first family in nearly 3 decades here in Oregon, the governor's office, with kids in school in real time. And you wonder why our schools are among the last place in every category. Maybe it's because we don't have parents who understand what's happening in real time, out in the world in our education system, parents who are driving on these roads and the lack of capacity and traffic jams, just trying to get home from the office to our kids' sports games that evening. Maybe we'd actually like to coach those games, but thanks to Democrat politicians not investing in roads, we can't get from our place to work to practice in time to be able to do that. I think it's really important to have relatable people that are out there having to experience and live with these laws and policies that are passed, in a real way that can step up and lead us as a state.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What are your plans in the next week or so campaign-wise?
Yep. So we're going out to Eastern Oregon on this bus tour. We have several stops along the way. Please go to stanpulliam.org to figure out all the locations we're going to be at. We're going to be posting on our social media channels, Mayor Stan for Oregon. And I believe that starts here next Wednesday. And we're incredibly excited to get back on the bus and get out there.
All right. Stan Pulliam, Mayor of Sandy and Republican candidate for governor. Thanks for being on again today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
1257 and News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.